You are listening to Art Not Science, presented by the Physics Room Contemporary Art Space, a monthly podcast of artist talks, panel discussions, and other events.
Tēnā tātou katoa. Nō mai hoki mai ki tēnei kaupapa kōrero o The Physics Room. Nō mai, whakarongo mai, whakatau mai. My name is Abby Kinane and I'm the director of The Physics Room, a contemporary art space dedicated to developing and promoting contemporary art and critical discourse in Aotearoa. Based in central Ōtautahi since 1996, we assist artists with resources and opportunities to enable creative and professional development and work to support the acknowledgement and understanding of contemporary art among New Zealanders. Our goal is to actively seek links between the arts and other areas of cultural production, and to involve art as a contributing voice in wider intellectual, social, and political debate.
Nō mai hoki mai. Welcome to episode 34 of Art Not Science. In this episode, we are speaking to Shi Li, an interdisciplinary artist from Harbin, China, based in Tāmaki Makaurau. Shi's video work, Spirit Ether, was exhibited at the terrace car park off Shands Lane for two nights during the Physics Offsite exhibition in November 2021. Ether is a flammable chemical, colourless, sweet-smelling, liquid at room temperature. Toxic to humans in high doses, it is also used as a sedative or an anaesthetic and taken to produce a high. In literature, the word ether is used metaphorically to mean a distance beyond immediate perception. In early physics, to describe an elastic substance that fills all spaces and whose vibrations result in light and sound. Shi's Spirit Ether draws on some of these associations, presenting a world in which capitalism determines not only the aesthetic of cities, but also permeates the spiritual realm. In this vast projection, the viewer is swallowed by a digitally modeled space where scale and perspective are distorted by their functions within capitalism to sell. Outsized symbols, carousel horses, billboards, jumbo jets, pagodas, skyscrapers, yuan signs, dollar signs, a series of colossal babies loom and recede as we move through the no space and no time of Shi's video. A heavy backing track suggests the pulse of the internet or the hectic internal mechanisms of this social reality. Kia ora, Shi. I'm so happy to be talking to you today. After a few months have passed since we had your exhibition down here in Ōtautahi at the Physics Room for our off-site exhibition. We spoke at the time quite a lot, I remember, and then unfortunately, due to the circumstances of that time and the lockdown, you weren't able to join us for an artist talk with all the community and audience that came to see the exhibition. So now is an opportunity to have some of that conversation, to reflect back on the project that you showed with us, which received a lot of amazing feedback. So thank you again and welcome.
Thank you. That's my pleasure.
So my first question I wanted to ask you is just if you could introduce yourself however you would like to.
So my name is Shi and I'm an interdisciplinary artist from Harbin, China, based in Auckland. So my work practice, including film, moving images, photography, installation, performance, 3D animation, VR games. In simple terms, I work in multidisciplinary. So sometimes they are physical, sometimes they are digital, depending on my interest and the concept I want to express. But most of the last 2 years, I have been particularly focused on the visual and digital arts.
I understand. And did you just finish, you just completed your master's at Elam School of Fine Arts?
Yes, I just completed that 2 months ago. It's really refreshed time for myself.
I'm going to
start a new work. I'm going to start a new thinking. So everything is beginning. It's a new journey.
Oh, congratulations. I've got to say, it was very impressive to be working alongside of you and preparing the work for the exhibition done in Ōtautahi at a time that you were doing heaps of work towards finishing your master's as well. It sort of blew my mind how you were able to do so many things at once.
But I like to facing challenge, so it was pretty good for me.
Me too, mate, me too. So my next question is around what the main concerns of your practice are. I guess I'm thinking about what are some of the key ideas that you find yourself returning to across new projects?
So I always been interested in society, culture, subculture, identity, subjectivity, spiritual, civilization, those kind of big concepts. Mm-hmm. And my different creations or practice are exactly what I use to solve my confusions about myself, society, and the world and more. So it gives me a power to express and create my perception. I really love to discovering self and everything. And sometimes I feel the state of something being exposed and about to express in there. So I see myself as a player or critic in the world. My practice is a process of research. So they are just a result or a process. It can be said that creation is my survival or living process, and it's also a way to facing the world. So you can feel a lot of deeper thinking of mine. You can see my perspective of my work. There are a lot of million of the things. I just put all my energy to create that. Yeah, especially in my work, Spiral Eater, I put a lot of information under the works. So I want people to see so many times and finding a lot of different details. Trying to get the point I'm trying to describe, like, oh, but I don't want to just tell my audience, you have to look at that, you have to look at this. I just want to try my best to put more available things.
It's so interesting to hear you say that creation in this way is like a mode of survival for you. I find that really interesting, but also that you talk about research, but about being a player as well, like a sort of a navigating it through a sense of play too. I really, that sort of resonates with me in remembering how it was to see your work. And I know too, like particularly in the installation on the car park site where we had it down here, many people did, because it was only on over 2 days, one evening and one long day, it did cycle around and around the work, and many people watched it multiple times over an evening. And that was a conversation that came up a lot, that every time a new motif or a new part of the soundtrack or a new aspect element of the work stood out to them. So I think I'm interested to hear you say that that was part of your intention, not to be didactic and tell people they have to watch it heaps, but to present something that's like alluring and entertaining and candy, but it also has deeper layers as well.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. Like, because every time I start a project, I will ask some question by doing a self-examination about the current stage. So what our current stage is, capital word, and that's the work I'm trying to do. So I'm really surprised that a lot of people feel the similar things, or they are catch the elements from my work, and they really like talking about, not talking to myself, but they may be talking to their friend, they sharing their ideas. Like, I'm super surprised that I can bring that. Also, they bring something for me. Like, this is a community, right? They just talk to me with virtual things. So yeah, I really enjoy that part. To be honest, I'm sad to cannot be there in person, but I feel something happened there, so which is so good.
Oh, killed it. Yeah. Yeah, I was sad too, because I thought it was very interesting to me how that work had existed, been built digitally and then existed, I guess, on the internet. We'd shared it. You'd sent me the the Vimeo file, so I'd watched it in this sort of intermediary space of the internet. And then for it to be in a room and being projected, and then also the light, what do you call it? The light kind of reflecting off the wall back onto the people. I was like, it's gained another dimension, and that's a very interesting space, like a social dimension, and then also a different, almost like a sculptural dimension as well in the real world through that, the light that was playing across in that room. Anyway, I'm sad you weren't there too.
You are listening to Art Not Science, presented by the Physics Room Contemporary Art Space.
I'm I just wonder if we can focus in on even more on the work Spirit Ether that we showed. Would you be happy to talk a little bit about the title? I remember we had some really interesting conversations about that. And you said to me, maybe not in these words, but you said to me you're interested in representing a world in which capitalism determines not only the way that cities look, but it also infiltrates a spiritual or a psychological realm as well. I think I wrote down a quote or something you said, capital logic is the material and spiritual power that dominates modern life, the radiant light and the spirit ether that guides the human heart. Could you speak a little bit more about this idea, this radiant light, and perhaps how that shaped the decisions that you made in making Spirit Ether and the aesthetic that you achieved?
Yes, sure. So if you can find a point I'm always talking about is I would like to call these things capital logic rather than capitalism, because I want to emphasize that is a logic. Mm-hmm. So before I create Spirit Eater, I spent most a year to reading some theories and summarize them. For example, I think the mode of production in our society is consumerism, and the form of domination is the society of spectacle, and the communication mechanism is pseudo environment, and it is an infinite expanded and diffuse, not limited to economic, political, cultures. I think it's just in our thoughts too. So I think this is the foundation of my identity, especially my individually identity as a urban youth. That's why I starting the whole project. I think it construct the entire contemporary ground narrative and dominate our entire collaborative and individual imagination. Mm-hmm. So I have to say the things, the building, the other elements shows up in the work. You cannot really tell which country is it come from, because I want to talk about a global idea, a global environment of the whole system we have been exist. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I've thought quite a lot about what we spoke about at that time of it being the diffuse experience of capital logic, not being something that is isolated to economics or in one or architecture or consumption itself, but being a kind of completely pervasive collective experience. I suppose within that, I'm interested to know your thoughts on how, well, if I see your work Spirit Ether, I also think it's a very personal work and it's a very specific to you as an individual. It's not a work that I would have made. So while we share this universal experience of you know, living and existing and operating, transacting within capital logic, we also have very, I would say, unique and individual responses. How do you think about those, I guess, that specific individual experience, like who you are, where you are in relation to this kind of larger universal experience? Because I guess where I'm going with this slightly rambling question is that I want to say difference still exists, even though there is these big shared experiences, this kind of ubiquitous space of the internet, or the borders between the real city and the internet city are very blurred. I think there's still points of difference between individuals or between places. What's your feelings on that?
I think I can answer these questions with two different ways. Like the first way is about my personal experience, because I grew up in China, but my hometown is called Harbin, and Harbin is a mixed culture city. Like if you go out to the street, you cannot really tell, am I in China? Something like that, because we have Russian culture, Japanese culture, Korean culture. So I have to say I grew up in a multicultural city. So that's something from my work too. Like if you see the buildings, I think the global things is happening when I was really young. So I grew up in this generation. So these things is just naturally happened from my work. And another way to say is just talking about the mass media, the new media culture. I think most of the youth culture, and especially the people who has similar age or younger than me, we just start to play in computer and stay in internet when we was really young. I start that when I was 6 years old or 7 years old. So basically, when we trying to know ourselves, who I am, then we spend a lot of time to create something virtually. Like,
I understand.
It's an identity come from internet, come from the society that built on the virtual world. So
yeah,
I was playing a lot of games when I was young. I'm not playing games right now because not much time. I mean, just personally.
This is great. I understand, like, partly through this process of, I guess, living in or with or through, I'm not what would express that experience, but with the internet, let's say, from a very young age, in a way, that is part of an identity, a time of identity creation, or that is part of personal development. And so it's not necessarily that one, that a real space is more valid or more authentic than an internet space. Actually, the border is much more fluid and much more porous between those things for many people. Maybe of your generation, maybe also in other generations too. We have adapted to, like, understand ourselves through the internet as well as in kind of opposition to virtual life. Yeah.
Exactly. And I really feel, I find the really interesting things happening now is there are a lot of people are animation and virtual, like, stories, and they're trying to be, they also like the character from that anime. And also, for example, idol worship, like, these all are the images showing on the internet, showing to the TV, and we're watching that every day. You cannot really tell, you just live in that. You just forget about that because it's everyday happened and you see that everywhere. So that's affect us. So yeah,
I totally agree. It's all part of the real, like, there's not two distinct spaces or anything. Just to sort of get really specific, I wondered, something I find very interesting in your work, Spirit Ether, was the richness and the breadth of different references you had, even the visual forms that we see, so including carousel. The horses are from the carousel, the jumbo jets, the billboards, pagodas, skyscrapers, like dollar signs, yuan signs, these gigantic babies. I wondered, you don't need to speak to all of them, but I wondered if you'd be happy to expand a little bit more on some of those motifs that you chose.
So, as you said, the airplane and building, high building and the dollar symbol, like, that's all part of our daily life. Like, we used to use that. We used to seeing that every day, especially people who live in urban city. But I would like to talk about the big baby a little bit.
Please do talk about the baby.
Yeah. Can you remember there is a swimming pool part of the city, and there has some babies swimming there?
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
And behind the swimming pool, it was a huge TV screen. The camera works is we are outside of the TV screen, but next page, we just go into the TV screen, which is going to another virtual world. That part is talking about the relationship between internet, mass medium, and those elements, how affect to ourselves even when we was a baby. So it's go straightforward. Like, that's why talking about 2 minutes ago. But yeah. I would like to say everything happened in my city, Sperry either. They all, you can all see in the real life, and you can all finding the reason why it's there. Like, there are nothing about useless. So
yeah.
Everything happened in my work. I already, can I say, giving a meaning? Or is I just catch up this from my daily life. I just create what I feel, where I'm Exactly. This is the things we face every day. And I just bring the element and I just make it become bigger and bigger. It's really straightforward. And you can find in the things you feel the same too. Like,
yeah. Oh, that's really interesting what you say about the babies. I was I sort of had a thought related to that when I was watching it, that it was like the baby was in this almost like a big womb of capitalism. So everything that was feeding into the baby in terms of nutrients and it's the sort of physical experience it was having would be, yeah, was sort of like this, I don't know, like an ether but that was infusing it, I suppose.
Well, to be honest, I feel I am the baby also, like even I'm getting older, but can we tell, like, can you actually confident to tell your mind and your brain is still like older than baby for these things? Like, because we're watching the news, we're watching everything every day. Like, can you tell your heart has independent thinking? Like, that's all the question I want to talk about. So I just making a baby and I put in there and I build a swimming pool. I just trying to show the feeling what I'm thinking.
I can definitely see how it works that way.
You are listening to Art Not Science, presented by the Physics Room Contemporary Art Space.
I wanted to ask you also about the soundtrack. I still remember the first time I listened to it on my computer and I had, of course, headphones on, and it's such a powerful, that bass in the initial part. And then, of course, that was just amplified times 100 and something in the big concrete car park space where we had the installation. That was a very powerful part of the experience. And I think even if I was to hear it, you know, just to hear the soundtrack now, I'd immediately identify it with the work. I'd be like, oh yeah, it's at the point where the butterflies cross the screen because it's taken on a more serene tone, or, oh, it's at the point where the babies are oscillating in the sky. Can you talk about what influenced your choices in developing the soundtrack?
Yes. So when I'm making the work, I will making the visual stuff first, and then I will making the soundtrack behind the work. Like when I play the animation, I will think about what kind of soundtrack should I make for this paragraph, something like that. Right. And at that time, I watch a lot of anime and movies, just want to figure out what if I director, like how could I edit in this part? And at the time I saw anime, it's a quite old anime from Japan, it's called Akira. Mm-hmm. And that's quite famous about these utopia things. And at the time I just listened to the soundtrack from Akira, I was super surprised that they can use the tempo really good as a jungle things. Mm. And that's jungle things is exactly the feeling I want to show in my work. So I listened to the soundtrack from Akira a lot of time, like even 100 times, and to finding the feeling, because I'm not professional sound maker, musician, something like that, but I'm the person who as a team. So I was doing that soundtrack really the end of the process. But the good things is one time the inspiration just shows up, and I was also surprised that the soundtrack is really achieved something. So if you're asking about the techno stuff, the skills, sorry, I don't know how to tell about, because I have no techno and no skills.
I mean, that's clearly not true.
I cannot talk much things like the visual work I make, because it's just one part element. I just feel soundtrack is a really important element. It can bring the feeling and like print out the thing I want to say. Mm. I want to show to the audience. Mm. Yeah.
I think it's also an interesting point, like in the space, but this also works quite just when you listen to it through headphones, that it almost resonates in your body. So because of the big bass speakers in the concrete space as well, it was like your body becomes part of the work in some way, or you're experiencing a kind of a vibration which I know is true of our experience of things in the world all the time, but it was really amplified in this work with, yeah, that very strong tempo at the beginning. And then again, when it transitions, maybe halfway through, when it transitions into a much more kind of ethereal, serene environment, yeah, the music is really what makes that transition really transcendent and really quite a beautiful, strange visual, but in an oral, like through your ears, but also I want to say like a physical experience as well, in a bodily way. Yeah. I'm coming on to my nearly my last question, I promise. This is a question I'm often thinking about, and I've never worked out the perfect way to ask it, but I'm going to say, who is your practice for, or what motivates you to make this work? It's sort of a why question, I think.
Yeah, exactly. But I like those word questions because I'm always thinking about those things. Yeah, like what drives me, working hard, and who I'm working for, like those,
those things.
I'm always thinking about. Even some people, like some of my friends, they ask me like, I think you are the person who working hard with no reason, like like who are you really working for, like you cannot really spending money from this, like do you have the career goal, like something. They always ask me that. To be honest, I don't know how to giving the response. Like, when I'm making, I'm really straightforward. I don't think that much things. I just want to figure out my questions. I want to bring my practice and to be part of the questions, or be the answer of the questions. So I have to say I have many ground, which is, for example, when I'm making work, when I'm reading the books, I find out a lot of philosopher and people, the teacher, my supervisor around me, they gave me a lot of helps. So I want to be the person to help somebody else in future. So I'm making the work for the future people, the future humans.
I love that answer. It's so interesting. Especially with the kind of utopian and then also sometimes dystopian atmosphere of your work. It makes sense to me in some way that it's like it's projecting into the future, or it's anticipating the existence of future, of people in the future, cities in the future. Yeah.
Sometimes I always imagine that after 100 years and the people who just found out my work and then just saw my work and see, 100 years before, somebody just thinking like this and somebody just making things like this. Like maybe they can reference my work. Even I'm not that famous, I won't be achieve something, but I mean, I just want to give in something before I leave. It's embarrassing to say, but yeah.
No, it's not. It's the way I ask that question. I ask myself too, you know, who is this for? You can't make work for everyone. Yeah, what is the, I check in with like what the question is. Final question, Shi. I just wondered what you're working on, what you're thinking about working on in the future, perhaps. You mentioned you might be taking a break right now, which I fully support. But where are you thinking about heading to next with your practice?
I think making art is the most important things on this stage. Like I cannot stop myself because I have so much things want to figure out and question myself every day, like self-examination every day. So I can feel my passion is kind of like no limited, infinite power from my heart. Oh my God, it's so embarrassing to say, like...
No, that's the headline, infinite power from my heart. I'm definitely
taking that. I don't know why. I think I just fall in this way. Like when I talk to my classmate or something, to people who are doing arts, I feel they also care about what they think. I always feel my passion is like out of control. Like they always tell me, okay, you have to take a risk or something. Like, but I just couldn't stop myself. I don't know why. Thank you. But yeah, so I have to continue. That's the first thing I want to do. And the second is I cannot reject the power and the information from the internet. So I'm planning to create my own studio for documentary project of youth culture, or the music video of some musician. Mm-hmm. Like, I will more focus on the art director things, like put my idea and put my visual elements to the pop culture things and get more audience. But that's gonna look a little bit different from the art I make, because the art I make is I'm the only one who tell me what to do.
Yeah.
And the second thing I want to do is more about to build or communicate with young people and kind of like a social movement things. Mm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's one of my plan. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shit, I'm so excited about what's next for you. I'm like, I saw your work at Art Space shortly after our after we had the exhibition down here in Otatahi, and that was a really amazing development. But I feel like there's some really bright things on the horizon. So I guess I just want to say thank you. I know it was a really challenging project for us to work on together because of the dislocation and the distance and many Zoom chats, even now. Booking on Zoom again. But it's been a real honor and we've learned so much. And I can't wait, like in the future, for you to come down to Otatahi and finally we'll be face to face and get to meet more people too. So thank you so much for your time and for your work.
Thank you so much too. Without you, it can't be true. So yeah, thank you for everything you have to. Yeah.
That was She talking about their work in Spirit Ether, our recent offsite exhibition in November 2021. Our current show, Kapuianga Aho, by Wai Ching Chan and Tessa Maunga, closes 24 April. So come and check it out at our gallery on 301 Montreal Street in the Art Centre's Registry Editions building. We are open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday to Friday and 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on the weekends. On the 29th of April at 5:30, we will be opening our new exhibition, Te Whakawhitinga, by Jeremy Liatanu. We'd love to see you there. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next month on Friday, 20th of May at 8 p.m. for our next episode of Art, Not Science. Mā te wā.
The Physics Room is generously supported by Creative New Zealand, the Christchurch City Council, the Rata Foundation, Three Boys Brewery, Scientech, and the Crater Rim.